This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in, everybody. Fresh edition of the Lombardi Line from downtown Las Vegas, our Circa Sportsbook studio. Kicking off the month of September, I'm Ben Wilson. He's Mike Palm. And Mike, with the start of our new lineup tomorrow, Swan Song, our final Lombardi Line. It is truly the end of an era here. But we're going to have a lot of fun today paying homage to what this show has been.
Well, it's a very historic final episode. And so I'm excited that in 45 minutes we'll have one of the stalwarts.
The OGs.
Of the Lombardi Line throughout the years, especially the last few years, Carl Johnson, Jiggity Jackety. He'll be joining us to talk a little LSU, as well as recapping yesterday and looking forward where the sharp money's coming in on both week two in college football and week one in the NFL.
Can't wait to have him on coming up this hour, 45 minutes. And then we'll also start flipping things forward to the new lineup starts tomorrow, the VSiN Morning Line. If you missed it yesterday, we had Grace Remington, who will be one of the three along with Michael Lombardi. We also will have Harrison Sanford coming up, 11:30 Eastern, talking about some best bets for the slate, get a preview forward to NFL Week 1. And we've got a lot to talk about, though, Mike, from yesterday. Think about how many games. If you were just chasing the steam yesterday, odds are you had a pretty rough go of it on the first big-time Saturday of the college football season. Of the two ranked games in the FBS, now, without a doubt, if you kind of compare all four teams, you probably have to say, Mike, most impressive performance, the way Notre Dame goes on the road, can't take advantage and did not have calls go their way after two first half interceptions of A&M's quarterback Connor Wegman to pull away the way they did. Far and away for me, the most impressive high profile performance of week one.
You feel Notre Dame was better than Georgia?
I'm saying if you're comparing.
Well, you're talking about those two games with ranked teams.
I thought Clemson was so inept in every way that it was only a matter of time.
You thought the Clemson defense was inept? They held Georgia to 6 points in the first half.
At a certain point, if you're Clemson defensively and your offense is on the field for like 90 seconds at a time,
and you were,
it's a war of attrition.
I'm not sure that you were that focused. You were dreaming of the next 3 hours with Jared Smith when you were watching that game. I thought both those defenses are very buttoned up. There's no missed tackling in that game, right? You got to get guys in space. But Clemson offensively looks still very pedestrian. I was very impressed with Notre Dame because I thought they had multiple chances to quit. And I don't mean quit trying, but just things were not going their way. They looked like they should have been ahead in that game. The fourth and one, would they review it? I mean, Riley Leonard's entire body was across the line. Bill Lamagne says, well, no matter where the ball is, it made a first down. Quick review, and now the call stands. I thought their secondary looked great, and they had the poise down the stretch. They made the plays, and so their schedule, I mean, They're going to be a touchdown favorite in every game, except maybe at the end against USC, and who knows what USC is going to look like. But if you bet Notre Dame to make the playoff, you have to love your ticket right now. Like the cash out option is going to be really good.
Oh, when that gets reposted, likely tomorrow or Tuesday at the latest. I mean, you got to think, the Notre Dame number. Like
Notre Dame's fans got to say, bring on whoever they think. Bring on Liberty. Bring on Boise. We're hosting a 5-12 game, right?
I mean. I can't wait to see a sign at Notre Dame Stadium. We love the Flames. Like, let's go. Let's get the Flames to South Bend. Operation 2024.
We want Liberty.
Yeah. No doubt.
Give us Liberty or give us that.
I think that would be a great sign to see there in South Bend. I thought the big takeaway from Notre Dame more than anything was probably twofold. The physicality on the defensive line. You know, how they're not like a flashy unit, but they're old. You know, they've got a lot of experience. I mean, the way they wore down A&M, and granted, Connor Wegman did not live up to the billing of a guy who had a top five QBR and limited sample size last year. It did not go well for him. But it was not only the Notre Dame physicality defensively, but you think about the much maligned offensive line, and after Charles Jagasaw was lost for the season with injury, no upperclassmen starters, yet they average 6 yards carry on the ground, and they were great at getting the ball in space. Riley Leonard coming off multiple offseason ankle injury or surgeries, you know, wasn't the greatest passing-wise, but he was mobile enough to continue what we know of him and the scouting report on him, which is he's a multidimensional quarterback.
He is about what you thought he would be, I thought, right?
Yeah. He could at least move.
Good with his legs, competent. They did not turn the ball over. Kyle Field, one of the toughest places to play in all of college football. And the running game, they just kept pounding away and had the two big runs that were the touchdowns. So I give them full marks, and now they move forward. They'll need to get better. They'll need to get better offensively if they're going to be able to compete in the playoff and make some way at least into a semifinal game. you think the way they're set up, they can't get a bye because they don't have a conference, but they can be the five and play the group of five teams. So you're talking about now getting into the final eight, but I think they've got to make a stride forward to think that they're going to make the final four.
At the very least, the preseason win total, you feel very, very good about. Oh, yes. I mean, this was the swing game in Notre Dame, which it was a flat 10 or some slightly juiced over to the 10 side on that over. You get there. The other ranked game of yesterday, you know, more than anything, it's just Clemson's decision to not use the transfer portal whatsoever and just rely on Dabo's recruiting. Granted, look, it's Georgia, right? That you talk about how buttoned up they look, no missed tackles. It's as fundamentally sound of a defense as you'll see, but you got to do something more than 3 points. When you've got Garrett Riley coming back for a second year, you've talked so much about the new weapons you're utilizing for Cade Klubnik at quarterback, and it just didn't happen. You know, 3.5 yards of play basically that whole game. And as much as Clemson's defense is going to keep him in a lot of games, and certainly, Mike, probably the ACC has taken as big of a dip as any conference this week from a perception standpoint outside of Miami. I mean, really, well, and Georgia Tech.
To me, the headline from yesterday is, I mean, Cristobal has the ACC right in front of him.
That's what it feels like,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, Miami's got a real good shot to go undefeated here. I was very impressed with Campbell. They dominated both lines of scrimmage. You could hear a pin drop in the swamp. That was a very, very impressive performance for the Heisman campaign and those who are holding Cam Ward tickets, like Joe Serralo. I mean, he puts up 385. They roll up 529 yards.
10-1 now.
Of offense. It's a
fourth favorite, Cam Ward.
And old Billy Napier still trying to run the ball on 3rd and 5. So
yeah. Over under week 7.5, old Billy gets the boot. I mean, that's now the talking point for Florida in a game that they had to have, hardest strength of schedule in the country. You come out roughing the passer to extend a drive on the first series, gives Miami a touchdown, another roughing the passer later on. I mean, just mistakes all over the place. Like how Florida was that undisciplined in a game that mattered so much for the toughest schedule in the country, you're left shaking your head.
And oh, by the way, Graham Mertz goes out at the end of the third quarter as well. You're not going to say tie all hopes to Graham Mertz.
No, he was better than a lot of people gave him credit for last year, and you figured with some improvements around him would be better. Did not work that way as Florida gets blasted.
As we look at the Heisman odds right now, on my top three disappointing list is the Oregon guy who's – they could have lost that game.
Easily.
If Idaho isn't offsides on 4th and 7 with 6 minutes to go, right, they stop them. They're getting the ball back. Down 17-14. Are you kidding me? Oregon, biggest disappointment. Maybe they're the biggest disappointment of this week. I mean, you could make argument. You could say Florida. You could, not really Clemson. I think that I would say Oregon was the biggest disappointment. Virginia Tech obviously got shocked at Vandy as an almost 2-touchdown favorite. Mm-hmm. But for Oregon not to crush, and when you look at the underlying statistics in the Oregon game, they outpossessed them 2-1, 40-20. They outgained them 2.5-1. And this is a one-score game until the final minutes.
Seriously.
Against Idaho at Outson Stadium. I think that's a problem for Dylan Gabriel. So, as we said, the Heisman race is wide open, but
it is.
Some takeaways there.
Yeah, the only redeeming quality for Gabriel, a lot of people didn't watch that game. It was late last night, and they're going to look at the box score and go, oh, Gabriel's 41-49 for 380 and 2 scores. But, there's a lot of short throws. Oregon, the lack of explosives was really jarring for a team that was a ginormous favorite of almost 50 points in a lot of books. Oregon only wins 24-14. And that was sort of a theme, Mike, as we got into the late hours yesterday of so many, whether it was FBS versus FCS teams that struggled to cover giant numbers, or you had the Power Fives against, say, the Group of Five teams. UCLA gets very fortunate in a line that just continued to crater all summer, and against a Hawaii team that looked terrible week zero. Yet, I mean, how UCLA how ugly was that? You're watching it on both sides. You're like, what is UCLA going to do this year? I know the win total's been smashed under, but man.
As bad as UCLA was in the first half, Hawaii might have been worse than the second half.
I know. It was a battle of ineptitude across the board there. And a game that got down to 13.5, mm-hmm. and a lot of people were on Hawaii all summer from 18. Did not work out that way as UCLA is able to survive. You think about the rest of the top 25 and then some of the games we felt like a lot of hype surrounding teams. Maybe they weren't ranked yet, but we should at least mention the Va-Tech piece of this, Mike, because we're talking ACC, how rough it was, and we've got one more ACC game tomorrow on Labor Day. But for Va-Tech, the way that the way that Vandy blew that game in regulation with the, like, anytime you can set up to kick a 43-yard field goal with a college kicker, usually you get penalized. But where did you stand on the overtime? Most of these coaches, you win the toss, you defer, you know what you have to do. I mean, Devatek's defense was gassed. They gave up two length of field drives the final 5 minutes. They defer, which I realize by the book is what you do, but Vandy scores in three plays, and it was obvious the Hokies had nothing left. It was a very interesting, weirdly coached game by Brent Pry, I thought.
Yeah, I agree with you there. You could have gave your defense at least another 5 minutes on the sidelines to catch their breath. I would say give Clark Lea a lot of credit. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Not only does he bring Pavia, but he brings his coaching staff. I mean, he brings Jerry Kill on. He brings Tim Beck to be OC. So, I mean, Nashville, they got something to cheer about here. Maybe a little optimism for the first time in a decade or more.
Well, the whole talking point was, like, betting on New Mexico State was awesome in the Conference USA, but this is the SEC. You're playing legit ACC teams. So Kyron Drones, the 100-1 Heisman tickets, you can rip those up. And he got banged up late. He wasn't in overtime either, as Vitek goes down there.
How about 100-1 on Austin Jenty? How about that? How about those numbers he put up yesterday?
Boise State. Each team almost covered the total on their own. Now, Boise State's defense, you might have some concern there. Each team was way over 40. But either way, great to have college football back. I know we had some good wins. We had some agonizing beats. Wow. But we're underway. That's all that matters.
West Virginia wasn't an agonizing beat.
If
they don't mishandle the end of the half, maybe it's a different story. Maybe. But who knows? A two-hour rain delay.
What are you going to do? We have much more to talk about, including games today. One in Vegas, LSU, USC will start our Sunday and then Monday previews next on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Couple games left here, week one of the college football slate. Excited to break those down a little bit later this hour with Carl Johnson. Jick Jack joins us from the Beau Rivage. A lot of LSU fans in the Vegas, Mike. I mean,
it ended up with 2,700 RSVPs for the LSU party Friday night at Stadium Swim, and they said we got close to 1,700 Tiger fans up there.
Wow.
They were making side bets with everyone that they could drink all the alcohol that we had. They have no idea how much alcohol we have on property. They were going to try to drink it out, so we cleaned up there on the side bets. But there were a lot of LSU people still around yesterday. As I predicted to you, I had to tiptoe through the raindrops here and just keep moving booths to the people who haven't showed up yet. By 11 o'clock, though, I was up in Derek's section. Everybody had arrived.
Yeah, you weren't wearing a poncho or something. You didn't have some protective clothing for all the beverages flying around. We had a great quote from Bill Ady in our VSiN Morning newsletter today. You should check that out if you're not already subscribed. From our lone LSU alum at the network, Matt Brown, when asked how many of these people do you know, and he's like, about half of them. Seems like everybody from LSU, they traveled as one. So that's the big game today. And you can remind you, check your inbox.
I waited till 10 after 3 and I didn't see it. So I gave up on it.
I believe
I'd go back and look. 312. 312.
Yeah, I thought it was 3:13 a.m.
We're already slipping with 3.0. So,
yeah,
people are waiting with bated breath at 6 a.m. on the East Coast for the newsletter.
To wait till 6:13. Nobody wants to do that. Alas, the big game today. All those LSU fans, we saw a lot of them here yesterday, ready to go for a game that, despite all the anticipation and all the fans from LSU coming out to Vegas, a lot of money coming in on USC, and you wonder how much lower will this get, a line that was near a touchdown throughout most of the summer. It has seen steady trickling of action toward the Trojans, LSU, USC at Allegiant Stadium today in Vegas. We're down to 4 pretty much everywhere, Mark, and you wonder now with limits wide open, does this go even lower for LSU team? It feels like the market sentiment is more betting against LSU and the lack of confidence in this new look defense that, until it is proven to be better, I understand why a lot of people have their doubts on LSU and the ability to stop the ball.
It's interesting. LSU has lost their last 6 regular season neutral site games.
That too.
So there hasn't been. Obviously, both teams are replacing quarterbacks here, so that's a big bug. I don't know, who do you trust more as a quarterback guru? Is it Lincoln Riley or Brian Kelly?
I would trust Riley in a situation like this.
I would trust Brian Kelly.
You would?
I think he's a really good offensive coach, and he's a really good developer of quarterbacks. Obviously, he made the move to LSU because he thought he could recruit, or the school would recruit, a higher level of talent that could bring him a national title that he could just couldn't quite get to at Notre Dame. Obviously, they've been way behind on the defensive side of the ball to try to make that realization come true, enter into evidence the Mississippi game last year.
Seriously,
But I don't really like to lay points in this game, but I'm not sold on USC and Lincoln Riley and the whole philosophy there. I think this is a Allegiant Stadium. One thing I misjudge Allegiant Stadium is what a tremendous venue it is for college football. It's absolutely amazing. The Pac-12 championship game was amazing. The Notre Dame BYU game, how loud it got in there. It's just with that kind. There's a different enthusiasm in a college football crowd than there is in a pro football crowd, especially when it's a transplant team,
like
the Raiders. So I think the crowd will be a factor in this game for LSU. I did not play the game. If you said you had to play the game, I'd probably lean over a little bit here.
The issue is, Circa's out to 66. Yeah. This opened 62.5. It's been nothing but over money. Yeah, I am not one to lay four with LSU at this point, as much as it's reduced, because I don't trust the defense to get stops. And there is a case to be made that for Lincoln Riley, you bring in a quarterback in Miller Moss, who has been in the system a couple of years. There was so much freelancing done by Caleb Williams, as outstanding of an athlete as he was, that there is something to be said for letting Riley's system actually run the day instead of Williams just kind of creating whatever he wanted to out of system. And that Miller Moss will actually be a very, very good fit, even more so than Williams, despite not having the type of athletic ceiling than Williams did a season ago. It's just both defenses, I don't have the trust in at all to get stops. You could argue USC couldn't be any worse than last year. But as a result of that, the only way I'd look is over. And the issue is we've seen this taxed so highly that you're paying a big premium. Maybe you see a slower start, Mike. You can jump in game. We saw it happen with a couple games yesterday where it's the first games for these teams. There's a little bit shaky out of the gates. Then you start to see the offenses open up. But that's all I would really want to look at.
You know, there were several games yesterday you could have wait till late first quarter or end of first quarter and then hit the end game under, which came crashing down in these games. If you were watching across the board, that Georgia game got down to 33.5. The Iowa game was 26.5 at the start of the second quarter. I get the history there. The Penn State game got down to 34.5. You know, all those games and pretty easily went over that adjusted number because of the slow starts. And it was week one, and there were a lot of motion penalties, illegal formation penalties, teams struggling to get coordinated there in their first game in live action. So that's an interesting thought. I don't know if you'll be able to take advantage of it as much. But the movement, think about this Georgia game. I mean, if you said you're taking 1/4 of the total off because it was a scoreless first quarter, it would still be 36.5.
Yeah.
It's 33.5. It got down to 32.5 for a couple snaps. So, I mean, that's a pretty drastic
move.
You're moving more than the implied total in that. And obviously, the second and fourth quarters are going to be higher scoring than the first and third. So I just thought I didn't get involved.
And there were a number of games where even the thought was right, even if it didn't actually play out, truly to cash a ticket. Like worst beat for me yesterday was I had in game over in the Texas Colorado State game. That thing closed like 62.5. I got over 52.5 when it's 7-0 late first quarter. Texas scores 52. I felt pretty good about the bet. The issue is Colorado State gets shut out. So not a great look for the Rams. 52-0 there. And we're going to talk about Texas in a few minutes because as we look ahead to week two, I mean, talk about a team that looks really, really buttoned up in Texas. Granted, against a mid-tier Mountain West team, that is a big game they'll have now on the road.
I was shocked they shut them out. I was really shocked.
Yeah, I mean, Colorado State's got weapons. I mean, Torrey Horton's still there, wide receiver. And, I mean, they neutered that offense to a point, even in garbage time, even with the backups in. I just couldn't believe 52-0 there yesterday for Texas. Will we see a similar thing play out? Slow start for LSU, USC, or the defense is good enough to give us that? Could we see a total dip down into the low 50s and go in game over? I would love to see it. Will it actually happen that way? I'm not
unlikely.
Sure. Unlikely. As far as Labor Day, that'll be the last game here for this week one card, and it's at least a situation where an ACC team has to win, Mike. That's at least a positive with how bad it's been. Boston College takes on Florida State. Knowles after the double-digit outright favorite loss in Ireland to Georgia Tech. Market is steaming against them. This was as high as 22 in some places, and it's moved nearly a full touchdown. We're down to 16.5 at DK. Rest of the market painted 17s across the board with some under money coming in. That not a surprise, right, Mike, on either move. It's just a question mark of do we feel like the move is justified, and is it, when so many moves from week 0 to week 1 were actually proved to be true, look at Nevada, for example, against Troy, Is it worth continuing to follow these moves when we saw how poor Florida State was relative to the expectations last week?
I have to get another game under my belt because they were shockingly flat. Take away the first drive. The first drive, they went right down the field. After that, they were dominated in this game. And defensively, I was really disappointed in their D-line. And I know they have a lot of new parts, but I mean, Georgia Tech controlled clock. They were able to just, and without an explosive passing game, move the ball down the field, convert third downs, stay ahead of the chains. So that was the most disappointing part to me, the ground game and the lack of ability to stop the ground game. So I will not be involved in this game on Monday. I have to see how far this Florida State team has really fallen before I dip my toe in. Speaking of teams we were impressed with yesterday, the two Nevada schools, I mean, what UNR down 8 at the half in a hostile environment and the humidity coming off blowing that game to SMU, and they came out and really dominated the second half of the game, had to stop the two-point conversion to hang on to win, and then UNLV just dismantled Houston and Willie Fritz in the first game. They controlled the line of scrimmage. I mean, they scored a garbage time touchdown, or they shut out Houston at home in that game. So, hopes here, Dave, for Odom and what he's done. I mean, obviously, some great tailwinds for UNLV heading into Mountain West play as well.
Yeah, UNLV wins outright, 3.5-point dog there. And then I felt fortunate. It was one of those things. I'm fortunate I did not make the bet because I kept waiting for Troy. If that got down to 7, yep. I was ready. Well, it got down to 7.5. Never got down to 7. Troy opened 15.5. That's what we're talking about. Some of these week zero to week one, huge potential overreactions. But in this case, Nevada, who was got an 8-point line move in their favor and then wins the game outright, it was completely justified with what they did on the road in a really impressive spot. As far as, is this overreaction on the Florida State side? I think I'm with you. I mean, it's easy to sit there and take what Mike Norvell, as a head coach, said at face value. I didn't have him ready to play. It was a disaster all the way around and feel like they are worthy of being 3-score favorites against BC. But when you're talking lower totaled game in college football, and this is 49.5, 50, taking some under money, I'm not looking to lay a premium like that with a team coming back from an overseas trip where it got embarrassed. There's just no way, as much as it's a night game at the Doak. I'm just not going to do it. And we also don't know what to expect. Now, Bill O'Brien making his debut as BC head coach. A lot of question marks on both sides, so a pass for me.
Did you get involved in that Georgia Tech game yesterday? Did you have a play?
Oh, yeah. I had Georgia State plus 21. Oh. That dropped two-point conversion, and then they didn't score at the one-yard line.
I'm sorry. That's didn't know.
If I'd have known,
I wouldn't ask.
That's all right. We had winners, we had losers yesterday in week one. We'll break down where some of the early line movement is going for week two because we have some big moves already in college football. We'll talk about it next.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, week one almost in the books in the college football season, but not too early to start looking ahead. Week two here on the Lombardi Line because we've got a number of massive marquee matchups to talk about. And we've already seen some line movement, Mike. Major books are moving things fast based on what we saw in week one. And one of the big ones for next week, Texas goes to the Big House, huge Big Ten showdown, two top 10 teams. But with how good Texas looked, 52-0 over Colorado State, I thought the defense looked way better than I was anticipating. Now, let's not forget, it's not like Colorado State's some doormat in the Mountain West. I mean, they've got like legitimate threats at wide receiver spot with Torrey Horton, veteran quarterback, Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, and they couldn't move the ball. I mean, it was 3 yards of play the whole day.
Not at all.
They had no chance in that game, and the market is reacting after Michigan, ho-hum 30-10 win, did not cover against Fresno State. Game stays under. That was a very popular bet for many in the mid-40s, but Texas out to 5.5-point favorites at the Big House. That was 3.5, Mike, most shops throughout the summer in the game of the year lines.
I mean, I'm not sure this number's done moving.
I don't think so either,
So if you got Texas in the look ahead, you're in a really nice spot. You may get a middle between 3.5 and 6.5 or 6. But you couldn't have been more impressive. I mean, Michigan was what we thought. I talked about this 21 was a bridge too far, and they don't care about covering. And look, they lost 20 players off that roster that had played 3 years or more for them. So people talk about they're the fourth team or the third team in the Big Ten. I don't know. I think it's a long road for them to hoe. For Michigan to get back to a playoff. Penn State was impressive yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe Oregon's the one that shouldn't be up there in that high of a rating. But anyhow, Texas, you can't say enough about their performance yesterday. Efficient offensively. I like the look of the passing game. It was creative. And the defense was absolutely stifling against what I would say is a top three or four offense in that conference. Granted, it's not a Power Four conference, but it's not a conference that's known for pedestrian offense. I really thought Colorado State had a legitimate shot to make the Mountain West title game. I liked the way their schedule fell, and they had that the experience of head coach and quarterback both coming back, which is a rarity there, but they were dismantled. It'll be a great atmosphere for this game. I give Texas credit. They schedule these games, right? They don't shy away. They scheduled Alabama when it wasn't a conference. Remember, they had the home-and-home with Ohio State, what, 6, 7, 8 years ago. So they go, yep. They go and take on these teams. So, but I think it'll be a showcase game for Texas.
Sure thing. Yeah, to get the SEC, Big Ten, you know, marquee game to start the week. And yeah, Michigan. That, you know, the bigger thing that I think surprised a lot of people was that Davis Warren gets announced as starter right before the game. It was not Alex Orji, who did get to play late in the game. And you know, Warren again against the Fresno State team. Their coach Jeff Tedford steps down over the summer, last second for health reasons, and a lot of transition there. I mean, Warren goes 15-25, 118, a touchdown, a pick. A lot to be desired there for a Michigan team. You just wonder how that offense is going to translate against the Texas defense, as we just talked about. Flew all over the place on both sides of the ball. I have doubts on Warren, to say the least. 5.5 now is that spread, and I'm with you. I could see this easily getting to 6 as more markets start to open. We will see that happen later today, and as limits gets raised as well.
And we'll open our numbers. Obviously, we did not the first one for week one, but yeah. We'll open all numbers, including the non-marquee matchups, the non-look-aheads at 11 a.m. today, and we'll have the folks flying in like Paul Stone to get first crack at those numbers.
All right, 2 p.m. Eastern. Looking forward to it on that. A couple other games, it will be interesting to see where the line moves go here. Iowa State, Iowa, I'd argue, both teams for stretches. Iowa State only scores 21 against North Dakota in an FCS game, did not look very impressive on offense, 21-3. And then Iowa was, 12-0? People were, you're the mayor, you can talk more about this, but everybody was ready to give up on the Iowa season again.
At the end of the first quarter, Twitter was on fire.
40-0, Iowa does beat an FCS in Illinois State. They shut out the Redbirds, cover the total themselves, which got down to 36.5. We're seeing Iowa here 2.5 in the Cyhawk game next week. A lot to be decided on both fronts.
So this is one of the, in our look-ahead games, one of the heavier bet games this week two matchup, which has playoff implications. Seriously. I mean, both of these teams are probably fringe teams, but when you're talking about Iowa and can a fifth Big Ten or fourth Big Ten team get in, and then the ultra-competitive Big 12, I think a little downgrade there with the Texas Tech performance. They legitimately should have lost that game at home last night.
Abilene Christian,
But this has been a steady stream of Iowa State money heading into this game. I wonder, after the week one performances, do we start to see some buyback on Iowa? We opened this game in the look-ahead games of the year at 3.5, and it was bet down to 2.5. We'll see where it goes. The one good thing I did in college football yesterday was bet the second half under in the Iowa State-North Dakota game.
There you go.
Which was about as easy as you could. And the drives were all 6-7 minutes. I mean, the key thing is when a team like North Dakota gets the ball that they can take time off the clock, that it's not three and out. And they shortened it with possessions. Iowa State had the one touchdown drive. Was a 9-minute drive. North Dakota had that crazy spin-around punt that made that drive so long. So it all fell that way. But it
to not turn it over.
I look at, can the dog in those games chew time off the clock? That's really the key for my total betting.
Yeah, 100%. In the case, I bet second half under in the Penn State West Virginia game. In the case of that, you're like, all right, Neil Brown, just keep doing what you're doing. We're gonna be good on that front. The Circa properties, and this includes your Midwestern states that are licensed. You offered the Iowa scoring prop this year, which you can
they're ahead of pace
now. You can update us on, because they are ahead
of pace. They're plus 15. We offered with the average 25 points a game in the regular season. So that's no bowl game and no if they make a Big Ten championship game. It's just their regular slated games, which, remember that they had the game with Nevada was in the, it was a long delay, lightning and all that. And everybody was wondering, because if they don't play all the games, if that game would have not counted, that would have been a refund for everyone, which we would hate to do.
At 6-0 at halftime against an FCS team at home, if you bet on
they were
under,
awful on
thinking,
third down in the first half. They looked just, well.
Or anyway. Redbirds, after about 45 minutes.
They went 4th-and-2 from, like, the opponent's 45. Ferentz would have never done that. Never.
No,
and of course,
way.
They stopped short. But, you can't do that. You can't be out of character.
Ferentz had to be throwing a remote from the recliner. I mean, wherever. I don't know where he was watching. But
He was probably interviewing a nephew or something.
So, probably, yeah. Like, come on, you gotta, come on, no safety. It's your, that's a staple of Iowa football. What are we doing? Punt to get a safety. Other look ahead lines here for week two that we expect to start seeing some movement because in one other marquee matchup that we'll have on a neutral, we'll get Tennessee and NC State, and NC State couldn't have looked any worse. 32.5 point favorite. I'm a little worried about my over 8.5 win position, Mike. I'll be honest, Western Carolina. I was not expecting the Catamounts to give NC State that good of a game, but they were tied in the fourth quarter. NC State ultimately wins, doesn't cover. Tennessee just blows out UT Chattanooga, and Nico Iomaliava in his true regular season debut could not have looked better for the Vols yesterday as they put up a massive number, 60 burger on Chattanooga and shut out the Mocs in the process. Seeing Tennessee laying 6.5 in that one, Mike, and you got to think that'll
start
to rise.
What's his Heisman odds right now?
Iomaliava is it's shortened since yesterday.
As
you would expect, and I'm seeing him down to 12-1 at DK. The big movers, Iomaliava and Cam Ward down to 10-1.
I think that's interesting. I think that's worth a shot. You're going to get a good run. That kid is very, very, very impressive to me. And bet it before this NC State game, because if he has another terrific game like that on the road, you won't get 10-1 on him after that. So this would be the point, obviously with the point before yesterday, but this would be the point to buy in on it.
I would think so too. I mean, NC State was, you know, you think about against Western Carolina, and they put up, they put up well over 350 yards of total offense on NC State. That was a game. NC State had to win the fourth quarter 21-0 to pull away, win by 17. That line is at 6.5. And then the other one that we're excited to look ahead to, see where the lines go here. We'll get some updated odds as well on this. But we had a highly anticipated debut, Dylan Raiola for Nebraska. A bit of a slow start against UTEP, but after going down early, Nebraska rolls in that game against the Miners at home. Raiola solid in his debut as a five-star freshman coming in. Meanwhile, Colorado escapes their first game against an FCS in North Dakota State. Not close to covering, though. And you know, where will we go from here? As it was obvious, there were so many holes on that Colorado team.
What's the number on this game, Ben? I was looking for it.
Nebraska up to 7.5
What was the look ahead as a game of the year? Do you remember?
It was 7 most of the summer. Yeah? Yes. Okay. There were some 7.5s, but mostly
big
7.
Big revenge spot.
Huge.
They were humiliated in that game in Boulder. And they had all those fans there, too, right? They had like a third of the stadium was red. And that was part of the whole Deion story, TCU, then Nebraska. I think it's a huge revenge spot. They're going to have 90,000, whatever. How many ever they get? Not quite as many as a volleyball game, but they do. They do turn out for football too.
They do. Every once in a while, they show up for football games as well. Yeah, you know, when it suits them, it makes a lot of sense.
It becomes the third biggest city in Nebraska on Saturdays.
Yeah. Well, look, I think Colorado, in a lot of ways, after week one, was kind of who we thought they were. They've got some unbelievable athleticism at the quarterback position and elsewhere, but you know, there's just no consistency on that team up and down the roster.
Will Matt Rhule take Nebraska to a Big Ten title game in the next 3 years?
No.
Okay.
But
will he ever? I think he'll turn the program around.
How long he'll
be there, I don't know. But
he can turn the program around and have Nebraska competing in high-level bowl games without going to a Big Ten.
Pelini was respectable, right? But since then, it's been just god-awful.
Yeah, not great for Nebraska.
But they're the bottom. I mean, they're the bottom of the Big Ten West. Think about that for the last 3 years.
Respect, though. Big opportunity for the Huskers against Colorado next week. We'll go to our guy Carl Jick Jack Johnson from the Beau Rivage up next as he helps us break down how the books made out and what to look ahead to in the LSU-USC game when we come back.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Rolling on this first day of September, recapping everything we just saw in week one of college football. A couple more big games still to come as we're back from downtown Las Vegas, our Circa Sportsbook studio, and a true pleasure here right now, Mike, to welcome in an OG member of this show. It is our final Lombardi Line. Mike will be on the new show, the VSiN Morning Line, which starts tomorrow, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, with Grace Remington, Harrison Sanford. Harrison going to join us in our second hour of the show, and a guy who has been an integral part of all Lombardi Lines over the last several years, Jick Jack. Carl Johnson from the Beau Rivage, sportsbook director there, down in the great in the Gulf, and joins us right now. Great to have him back. I know you were looking forward to this, Mike.
Carl became one of the characters that really exploded out of the Lombardi Line cast, and all credit to him. But you know, back in the days when you could tweet out who your guests were going to be and at what time. I mean, people tuned in. That was appointment television to see Jik Jak. So welcome back, Carl.
Hey, it's good to be back. It's good to be with you guys, man. Look, I want to tell you a quick story. You know, I can remember a few years ago when I don't know who I was on the call with, but our PR people said, hey, Carl, you got to jump on this call. We want to do some stuff with the Lombardi line. So I get on this call. I think Bill Ady was on there and, you know, a bunch of guys from Veasan on the other end. And I'll never forget, they were kind of going through what they wanted us to try to do on the show and stuff like that, telling us, asking us if we could do this and that. And I'll never forget, and I don't know who it was that asked me, but they said, how do you feel about that, Carl? And I said about three words, and one of the guys on the other end said, that's it. That's the voice that we want right there. So I think it was my slang, my Southern, English, if you call it. But I think that helped us get to be on this show. It's been an honor. And we look forward to doing a bunch of other stuff too. So, we've had a great time and it's definitely changed, some of the stuff. You know, I got people coming up to the counter. I'm getting 50 DMs every couple of days. I mean, it's been crazy, but it's been a lot of fun.
We're so glad it has worked out that way, and how the Boulevard has really taken off. I mean, I remember, you know, when we started doing these shows, Mike, and I've been in Lombardi since 2021, and yeah, how great of an atmosphere and a presence that there is down in Biloxi. Although I'm sure it's a little bit odd. It's weird for you, Carl. Like, all the LSU fans, I mean, they was just in waves here in Vegas this weekend. It might be a little bit lighter at the book this weekend. What have you guys seen out in your neck of the woods, the way the LSU-USC line movement has gone?
Yeah, so, it was good to have the book full again for the last couple of days. These people down here live and die for LSU football. And now, you know, you can add a couple other teams in there, Ole Miss. But for the time being, talking about LSU, I know Jimmy Ott had contacted me yesterday. He said, man, there's 20,000 fans over here at Mike Palm's swim book. And I said, well, that's about right. I said, are they doing any crawfish? But look, this is going to be the opener for the season. It's Brian Kelly's third season at LSU. They lose Jay Daniels. They lose Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. The biggest drawback about LSU, I think, coming into the season is going to be how improved their defense is. If this is any kind of a defensive performance for LSU, I think they got a good chance to win. If they don't play a decent defense, I think Lincoln and them can put a hurt on them. LSU hasn't done well the last 3 years, I think, in their openers. I don't personally like going and playing a school like USC on opening weekend. I would much rather play a smaller opponent, but should be exciting. This line, basically for us, it's been fairly stale. We opened this thing at 4.5. We're still right at 4.5. Now, the thing about this is that, you know, people always ask me, I mean, it doesn't matter who the opponent is, what the line is. We're going to always run about 80% of the handle and about 85% of the ticket count on LSU. So, without any guess at all, I know that I need USC, today for the book.
Carl, if this game was in Baton Rouge last night, what would the number be?
If it was in Baton Rouge, I would think this game would be somewhere around 7.5, 8, and bet the same, Mike.
I'm telling you that this atmosphere at Allegiant will be as close to, as you can get to Baton Rouge on a Saturday night. It's going to be 80% plus LSU fans. Now, USC has access, more access than they would get if it was in Tiger Stadium. But look, Jimmy Ott was only exaggerating a little. There were close to 2,000 LSU people at Stadium Swim. We have a USC pregame party here on the second floor at the Overhang Bar. We got about 200 RSVPs. I mean, it's just the town is engulfed with LSU. And you're right, they haven't won an opener since pre-COVID. 2019 is the last time they won an opener. I give them credit, though. They go and play tough schools. They go and play, remember, they play Wisconsin at Lambeau. Yeah. And they go and play these games that make them better at the end of the year. But if they can escape through here, I'm looking so forward to Saturday, October 12th, when Ohio State goes to Oregon and Mississippi comes to Baton Rouge. That's going to be the best day of the college football season.
Absolutely, 100%. And speaking of, well, first of all, those LSU people, that the College World Series loves them. They travel extremely well. And it, you know, I was not surprised to hear how many people are in that stadium. It's not a surprise. But look, you're right. That is going to be one of the best days of the year. This Ole Miss team, I'm telling you, they are special. Very impressed with them. I kind of knew it was coming. And this kid, look, Jackson Dart, I mean, he's one of the kids. He went from, well, just since yesterday, he went from 12-1 for the Heisman to 10-1. So I think he had, I don't know, 3 or 4 touchdowns. But they're going to be the team to beat, and they have the schedule to really make a run in this SEC. Right now you can get them at like 7-1 to win the conference and 15-16-1 to win the whole thing.
They're a favorite now here at Circa to make the playoff. When we opened the market, they were around +115. Now they're -130. The biggest mover to make the playoffs. Them in Utah. Carl, we love your sharp report. Give us a sharp report on week one action in the NFL next Sunday.
Yeah, so I do have a few. I've got a few teams, a few totals. It looks like we've taken some sharp money. We took some sharp money on the Falcons total when it was at 42. It's down to 40.5. On the Bengals total, we also took some sharp money from 42.5. It's at 40.5 now. And then the Bears total, they're playing the over there. They popped the over at 43, and it's at 45.5. They are playing. We got some sharp money on Atlanta for the game. The Texans really have a lot of steam. I mean, normally this is a Dallas Cowboys kind of, you know, they kind of bet the Dallas Cowboys like they do LSU here. But the Texans are taking that handle this year away from Dallas, I think. And then lastly, the only significant thing, speaking of Dallas, is that the sharps here are on Cleveland pretty good.
He is Carl Johnson from the Beau Rivage Sports Director. They're at Jick Jack Johnson. In case you didn't already follow him, you can add on to his DM list of 50 or so, 50 or so per day. What if, futures wise, with how sour it seems like opinions have been on Dallas, and that is a very pro Dallas book where you're at, where are your liabilities sitting at on the future side of things as we get ready for week one?
Yeah, so right now, believe it or not, one of our biggest liabilities is Tampa Bay in that division. We took some significant action there. So other than that, you know, we had the typical stuff. I mean, they're betting us Kansas City. We're getting bet Baltimore, San Francisco. But it's, you know, in all honesty, it's spaced out pretty good. It's split up pretty good where I think we'll be okay there. I think the biggest bullet we need to dodge in the pro futures market is probably Tampa Bay for that division and that conference. So we took some big bets there, and we're going to be worried about that.
Carl, do you get an influx of Texas money? Are you close enough to Austin or people that follow Texas in Eastern Texas? Where do you think this line ends up, Texas at Michigan?
Yeah, so since they've become part of the SEC, they're heavily bet here. And we're not that far away per se, but, Mike, I hadn't even seen the opener. Our stuff won't be out until tomorrow morning. I can tell you that, Texas will probably be bet here. We'll probably need the other side. I was not impressed with Michigan yesterday. What do you think?
We're already out to 5.5. Yeah, Carl, DK, and that was a summer game of the year line at 3.5. So it seemed telling that we're going to be heading toward a touchdown, I would think. Alas. Yeah. Carl Johnson, it's only right that on our final Lombardi line, you'd be on with us, man. It's always been a pleasure. We will see you, I know, in some capacity on the morning line going forward here on VSiN. So always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for your time and all your contributions.
Good luck, guys. Enjoyed it. You guys have a great weekend. Mike,
no doubt.
Take care of those LSU folks. They'll love you for it.
He will.
We will. God bless you, Carl. God bless Thomas Gable, and thanks for the memories.
Of course. One more hour for us here on the Lombardi Line. We'll come back, recap everything, and flip forward to the NFL on the other side.